This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA. Dan Loisel has been calling thoroughbred races for 29 years. He's a native of Scarborough, Ontario, and this past week he announced that on May 31st of next year, he will call his final race, and it is an honor to have him with us here on the program this morning. Dan, welcome to the show.
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Couldn't be better. If I was any better, I'd be twins.
Well, that was quite the announcement this past week. I know that we don't know each other extremely well, but I was a bit surprised because you have been calling races there for so long, but I guess at some point, all good things come to an end.
Well, thanks, Mike. It just felt like the right time. I have been calling thoroughbred races, as you mentioned, there for 29 years, but before that, I worked in the harness division of our company for 17, so I'll have been there 48 years next June, and my wife, she's works at Woodbine Entertainment too, in the corporate responsibility segment of our business, and she's been working there 37. So next year, we've been working there 85 years as a couple. So I think it's time.
You know, I read an article, I believe it was in the Toronto Sun, where it said that at the end of 2014, you will have called roughly 55,000 races. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot of races, and some of those were standardbred races. I got to call some North America Cups, which is our biggest harness race in this country, and some Breeders' Crown races and Maple Leaf Trots and Canadian Pacing Derbies, but 29 years of thoroughbreds and 17 years of harness, and yeah, it's about 55,000 races. Somebody I was reading the other day said it was like thousands and thousands of that. Oh, I know what it was. If you wanted to listen to those 55,000 race calls, you'd have to sit at a computer for 44 days to listen to them or something like that.
That's great. Dan, take me back in time a little. Where did your love of horse racing begin?
You know, Mike, we have a saying here in Canada, because it's a hockey country, and somebody that hangs around an arena all the time is called a rink rat. My mom worked the press elevator at Woodbine when I was growing up. My dad, who's since retired, did the photo finish. My grandfather worked in security. So I'm one of those kids that it was never, ever not a part of my life. On the weekends, I'd go to work with Dad and sit in the press box and mimic the announcers we had at the time. And when I was 10 years old and Dad was doing the photo finish for the harness division at the time, there used to be an announcer there named Paul Hanover. I would get an old reel-to-reel tape recorder the size of a suitcase, go above his announce booth, as a 10-year-old, call races into this old reel-to-reel tape recorder, take them down to Paul afterwards and say, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? What should I change? What should I keep? And so it's just never been not a part of my life, Mike.
Was Paul the person that had the biggest influence on your career?
When I started calling standardbred races, the guy that used to make the hair stand up on my arms when I was a kid calling standardbred races was Stan Bergstein. He called the Little Brown Jug and the Hamiltonian every year and did it with such drama and had a great voice. So he was probably my biggest influence as a standardbred race caller. And I'm not going to surprise you by saying this, and he's a good friend. I went and stayed at his place in Saratoga this summer. We golfed, but Tom Durkin certainly as a thoroughbred race caller, and we're good friends, so that worked out really well.
Has he reached out to you since your announcement this past Tuesday?
We talked about it. I told him about when we were on the golf course in August, on a Monday in August in Saratoga. We talked about it and got his advice. He had already announced his retirement, but hadn't retired yet, and just threw some stuff at him about which way I was thinking of going and getting some advice from him as a friend. And he gave me some great advice. He knew we didn't announce my retirement till after the racing season was over here in Toronto, but Tom knew about it back in August, and so we've been in touch. And one of the first tweets I got when the announcement was made on Tuesday was from Tom. He was in Tucson with Chris Lincoln getting an award. So, yeah, he's been a great friend and certainly my biggest influence as a thoroughbred race caller.
When you first took over calling thoroughbred races there at Woodbine, you took over for a gentleman by the name of Darrell Wells. What do you remember about that first day that you stepped up in the booth to call your first thoroughbred race?
Oh, it was horrible, Mike. I was assistant race secretary for the standardbred division of our company and the backup harness announcer. And the company called me in on a Monday and said, Darrell won't be here on Wednesday. This is the deal. We want you to try calling thoroughbred races. No pressure. If you don't, if it doesn't work out, we'll send you back to the harness division. If it does work out, you can stay. But let's see how this works out. Well, it worked out 29 years ago. And I listened to those calls, Mike, back in 1986. And I mean, they were horrible. I blush when I hear them. And for them to have stuck by me and let me work out my own style and find myself, I thank them for that.
Visiting
with Darrell Wells, he was the legend when I... Woodbine's only had two announcers in its history. It opened in 1956, Darrell and myself. And back in those days, and the racing business has changed a lot. Mike, you know that. People bet from their homes and from off-track locations now. Back in those days in Toronto, there would be 40,000 people at the races on a Saturday and a Sunday. And he was just God. He was Wayne Gretzky of race callers and in Canadians' minds anyways. And to replace him, a little daunting. I'm glad the Internet wasn't around then, because any semblance of self-confidence that I may have had would have been eliminated immediately upon me replacing Darrell Wells back in 1986.
Visiting with Woodbine announcer Dan Loisel here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Dan, you've called 28 editions of the Queen's Plate and five Canadian Triple Crown winners. Now, as a native of Ontario, that has to be pretty special.
It was, and as you know, the Queen's Plates are Kentucky Derby. I emcee all our draws, and the build-up to the Queen's Plate in this country is amazing. We have barbecues parading the horses. We have the draw 3 days before the race. We bring in celebrities for me to interview to get our name in the press even more. So the build-up's just tremendous. And when they go in, and we're on national television, and when they go into the gate for the Queen's Plate, your heart pounds a little quicker than it would for an allowance race on a Thursday afternoon. So it's been a real honor to have called 28 Queen's Plates and five Triple Crown winners.
Setting that date next year of May 31st means that you will retire before the 2015 running of the Queen's Plate. Why that particular date? Any thought of sticking around for one more Queen's Plate?
Well, there was. I my bosses sort of really wanted me to, and I said, I think 28 Queen's Plates is enough. And here's part of the equation that a lot of people don't know, Mike. Wendy, my wife, who's worked there for 37 years, the earliest she can take her retirement is at 55 years old. She's a little younger than me. And she turns 55 on the 23rd of May. So we are retiring the 1st of June, 7 days after she turns 55. And so that led into the decision-making and a couple other things. We wanted the whole summer off, and we haven't had a summer vacation in 29 years since I started calling thoroughbreds there at Woodbine in 1986. So all those things sort of led to my decision-making.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be asked this next question several times between now and May 31st, but when you do look back on your career, Dan, what are the moments that are going to stand out to you?
Well, I'm probably repeating myself, but to have called all those Queen's Plates, to call North America Cups, to call five Triple Crown winners, to call two Woodbine Miles that Wise Dan won. I loved his name, first of all, Mike. to have called two Woodbine Miles that Wise Dan won in his most recent one last year. He set a course record, and Johnny Velasquez just had a guzzle hold on him. And, of course, both those years he went on to win the Breeders' Cup Mile and named the U.S. Horse of the Year. So those are big things to call race, to have Kentucky Derby winners come to Woodbine, and like Funnyside won the Dominion Day and AP Indy race there. To call the undercard of the Breeders' Cup that Tom did, and we shared the booth back in when the Breeders' Cup was at Woodbine, the only time it's been out of the United States. That was quite a big thrill. And I guess the other things would be they used to have a thing called All-Star Announcers Day before, when Breeders' Cup was just one day. They had a thing called All-Star Announcers Day where they'd invite a handful of announcers and fly them in and get them to call a race. And I was invited to five or six. To call races at Belmont Park and Churchill and Arlington and Monmouth, like calling a race at Belmont Park to me is like saying to a kid, how would you like to play a game in Yankee Stadium that plays baseball? So those were all big thrills.
Well, Woodbine can be a little bit challenging to call, can it? Isn't it somewhat of a unique configuration, and where the booth sits, there's a couple of areas that can be a bit obstructed?
Boy, you're absolutely right. Our turf course is the only turf course in North America, as you know, that's built outside of the main track. So to call those turf races, they're great for the fans to watch. They're great theater. But they're hell for an announcer. You have to lean out of the booth, and when they put the portable rails up to protect certain paths of the course, which they do through the racing season, when they put the portable rails up, when they come off that turn, basically as an announcer, all you're seeing is horses' heads and jockeys' heads. So great races to watch, tough to call. I can remember when Tom came into the booth on a couple days prior to the Breeders' Cup, and he looked out there and he said, oh, my God. Of course, Tom, being the consummate professional, pulled it off with Grace and Elan and called the Haas winning. So they are a little challenging. The dirt course, the poly track, it's fine. But the turf course, it's tough.
Woodbine announcer Dan Loisel here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dan, I've gotten to know several announcers over the years, Tom Durkin, Kurt Becker, Larry Colmus, and I think every announcer has those races where they just know they were in the pocket and everything went well with that race call. You can kind of feel it when you're a professional at the top of your game like you are. If you're making your own personal highlight reel, which race calls are going to be on there?
Boy, that's a tough question to ask, Mike. It's because there's been so many that have been special. When Inglorious won the Queen's Plate back in 2011, I grabbed a run at the 3/8 pole, and she had won the Oaks that year, and that was a special moment because just as she started to accelerate, I glanced back and managed to mention her name. So when that race finished, I felt good, and something happened this year in the Queen's Plate that I'd never experienced in 29 years of race calling. Lexi Liu won the Queen's Plate this year. She went to California and performed well there, second to California Chrome in her last start. But in the body of the race, about the 5/16 pole, I said, and I think this is what I said. I said, and Lexi Liu is about to make her presence felt, and the whole grandstand let out a roar. I don't know if this was all females that had bet on Lexi Liu or what, but sometimes when horses are loading into the gate, like when Wando was attempting to win the Breeders' Stakes in the Triple Crown in 2003, and I said, and Wando's going into the gate, they let out a roar, but I'd never heard it in the body of a race. And when I mentioned her name around the far turn, I mean, they blew the roof off the grandstand, and of course, she went on to win that race. So those are two that sort of stand out.
All right, let's take it the other direction then, Dan. How about your blooper reel? Any calls you would like to have back?
You know, Mike, there certainly are, but but Dave Johnson told me once, and he's right. If you call enough races, so I block them all out, and I've talked to Tom about this too, and you have to block them out. Dave Johnson told me once, if you call enough races, first of all, if you ever run into an announcer that says he never makes a mistake, you've ran into a liar. and Dave says, when you call thousands of races, you are going to make mistakes. You're going to kick the garbage can and swear and all that. But he says you better get over it because they're going to happen. You hope they're minimal. You hope it doesn't happen very often. But they're going to happen, and you better get over it. And I've learned over the years, and I don't think they happen too often, but when they do, I'm mad at myself, but I get over it quicker now. I think to myself, hey, you know, you've got a pretty good body of work. Don't let this eat you up. So there'll be some on the blooper reel, but I blocked them out.
Short memories,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you hope that racing fans and horsemen will take away from listening to your work when they go back and watch replays of some of your calls?
I just hope they think, Mike, that he had a good body of work, that he got to call both breeds, that he represented his company well. One of the things that isn't even race-related, but one of the things I'm a little bit proud of is in the 29 years that I've been calling races at Woodbine, I never once called in sick.
Wow.
So I'm quite proud of that for some reason. But just the general body of work that I, my company said to me in private that one of the things that they're very, very happy about was not only that I called the races there for so many years, but that I represented the company well, and that made me proud.
Any chance you'll stick around racing in some capacity?
I don't think so, Mike, but it'll always be a part of my life. I'm doing a stallion. I'm emceeing a stallion show for Ardena Stallion North on the 28th of December, which happens to be my birthday if you want to send me anything.
We'll remember that.
I'm going to emcee that on the 28th of December, but it's been too much of a part of my life to divorce from it. So I won't work in any capacity, but it'll be great, Mike, to go in the grandstand at Woodbine and not have the pressure of, and watch the races and go down on the walking ring and not have the pressure of calling a Queen's Plate or a Woodbine Mile or a Canadian International and sit in the grandstand with some friends and have a beer instead of having to say to myself, boy, what are those colors from that European horse? I hope I get them memorized right. So I'm looking forward to going in the walking ring, sitting in the grandstand, having a beer with friends and watching the races. But no, races will always be a part of my life.
Well, Dan, you're all class. You're a consummate professional and a tremendous ambassador for the sport of thoroughbred racing, and want to wish you all the best in your next career, which sounds like it's going to be just relaxing with the family and enjoying life. And again, all those memories you've created over the years, thank you for that, and really appreciate you joining me here on the show.
Mike, it's been great talking to you. Happy holidays to you and yours, and I hope our paths cross again down the line.
You too. Thanks, Dan.